When I was a teenager, I was very certain about many things. I knew, for example, exactly how one was born again, and I tried to help other people receive Jesus by saying the simple words, "I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior." I didn't realize that some people might just say that in order to amuse themselves or in order to get rid of me and not actually mean it. But now I'm not nearly so sure that being born again or accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior is the same as being born from above. Today's gospel reading contains one of the big born again passages. But Jesus gives us very little information about how that born from above happens. Last night I watched an episode of Call the Midwife and got to see lots of babies being born of the flesh. And it helped me to think about that whole process of being born. Birth is a radical discontinuity which often happens slowly and with pain. We pass from one state to another. In birth, we move from the presumably mainly pleasant and limited environment of the womb into the sometimes pleasant but very varied environment of the world. Rather like the story of Adam and Eve finding themselves outside the garden and starting to experience the wider world where it takes more effort to grow food and to have children. So perhaps being born from above is moving from a limited environment to one which is more expansive, but not necessarily easier. Moving from the known to the unknown. In the many years that have passed since I was a teenager, I have become much less certain of many things, and much less certain of how to understand the things of God and the life of the Spirit. Jesus said, "The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Being second born means living with uncertainty, because we never know how or when God will reveal herself, and when or how he will move us on to something unexpected. Just like Abraham in our first reading this morning, when God says, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you." And we hear, "So Abraham went." Abraham was second born, even though in time he came long before Jesus, because he trusted God enough to go and live his life in close relationship with God. And that's what Paul is talking about in that rather complex second reading. Even though Christ had not yet incarnated, died, and resurrected, God's grace made Abraham twice born. And that's what it's all about, God's grace which makes us new. Now, we don't know why Nicodemus went to Jesus by night. Perhaps he didn't want to be seen. Perhaps he had a day job. Perhaps the writer is riffing on the idea that we hear at the very beginning of this gospel, that the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Perhaps the writer is suggesting that Nicodemus and the powerful Pharisees he represents are in the dark about Jesus. They see what he's doing, and so they know that the presence of God is with him, but that's as far as it goes. So Jesus says, "No one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." And again, this takes us back to the gospel's prologue. He came to what was his own, and his people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. That's another place where receiving or accepting Jesus comes in. To all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God. The gift of God is that we may be in such a close, intimate relationship with her, just like a little baby with its mother. But without emojis, we can't be sure. Is Nicodemus shocked, bemused, or even scornful? How can anyone be born having grown old, he asks. Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? To which, of course, the answer is no, one cannot. But Jesus isn't talking material, literal, call the midwife birth. Jesus is talking spiritual birth, and spiritual truth is always much more difficult to express. You must be born from above. No one can enter the kingdom of heaven without being born of water and the Spirit. I have asked several of you this week what it means to be born again, and each of you has given me a different, rather vague answer. It seems like we recognize it in ourselves, and sometimes in others, but spiritual rebirth is difficult to define. I'm reminded of a different conversation, this time in Matthew's Gospel. Jesus invited a little child to stand among them. Truly, I tell you, he said, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Children are constantly learning. Children don't need to unlearn prejudices and judgments because they are just now learning to have them. Becoming like a little child is like being born again. When it comes to this stuff, we really have as little intellectual understanding as small children. But we know it's true. When we turn to God, God turns to us. It's a whole new day, a whole new life, again and again and again. For me, it hasn't been a quick birth. Being born of the Spirit has been a lifetime of labor. And I know that that's true for some of you, whereas others have been born quickly and almost effortlessly. And some of us just experience being born again and again and again. And some of us don't feel fully born yet. It's okay to have beginner's mind. It's okay to be unsure, to not know. What is important is that we keep coming to God in the night of our minds. We keep opening our hearts and our hands to receive whatever new birth is, whatever the Spirit has for us. And we do that because we know without doubt that God loves us totally and completely. Some of us struggle with the famous verse, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that whosoever believes in him may not perish but may have eternal life. For some of us, this seems exclusionary, as though it's saying that everyone who does not believe in Jesus is damned. But that's taking out to the context of the next verse. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That the world might be saved through him. Or that the world, the cosmos, might be made whole by him. And are we not all part of the cosmos? Will the cosmos be made whole, and somehow those poor humans who never heard of Jesus be left out of that amazing redemption? I don't think so. It seems as though God's love for us and God's decision to give us free will makes us humans a keystone species when it comes to the redemption of the world. And in order to get on board with God's big idea of the wholeness of the cosmos, we get to be born again. We get to start again, learning about a whole new world, which makes our past learning irrelevant. Life outside the womb is very different. Life outside the garden is very different. Life for Abraham in the new country is very different. Life in the Spirit is very different. We are called to be children of God, reborn and seeing with God's eyes. And as we are born from above, so we can see the kingdom of God. That is our heritage. That is our joy. Let us live every day born of the Spirit and aware of the kingdom.